Have your Bibles this morning, please turn to Psalms chapter number 33. We were in Psalms chapter 32 last week. Almost skipped this one and went to another one to try to kind of catch us up, but I hate to kind of skip some of the lessons, even though I feel like when we get towards the end, there may be some that we do not complete in our book. But we are at least, I don't know, let's see, I'm on the date of October the 12th, so that's where I'm at in our Sunday school book, and I doubt we're going to actually catch up to where we're on the right dates, even though I guess I could skip some. I may do that next week. I don't know. I'll see and kind of catch us up so we're kind of on track a little bit, because I know many of you have a student book as well, and that's good, and it's a good tool to use and to learn, to grow, and those are always available for you in our Sunday school class, so make use of that. Even though I'm not on track, we'll get into our lesson this morning, and we're just going to stay in Psalms chapter 33. I was going to combine a few lessons, but I don't think I could get it in the time that we have, so we'll just kind of see what we can accomplish this morning. And primarily, we're going to be right here in Psalms chapter number 33. It is a psalm of David, many believe. You'll find in your Bibles that more than likely under the chapter heading, when it says Psalms 33, there's no heading under that. Many believe it is a continuation of chapter number 32, which David is the one that put together this psalms. And I believe it was probably David that wrote this one as well. I'm almost positive it was. But we'll look at some important facts here as David instructs some important matters here in this psalm as well. But let's pray as we always do. We need to ask for the Lord's help, the Lord's blessings on our time that we have. So let's do pray, and we'll get right into our lesson. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We come together, unite together in prayer this morning, Lord, praising you for all that you have done this past week in our life. And Lord, it's just amazing how quickly the weeks go by. And Lord, we look back over the past week, and we can all point to the many blessings that you have graciously given unto us. And Lord, first of all, we want to say thank you for all that you have done. Lord, we also look forward to the new week, and we're excited about what you're going to do. And we pray, Lord, for your blessings on this new week. We pray that you would guide, lead, and direct each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that you would protect us this week. Lord, we do pray and ask for your help. We ask, Lord, for guidance. We ask for wisdom. We ask for power. And Lord, I pray that you help us as we go out into this world this week, as we strive to serve you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue to stay focused on the will and purpose of our life. And Lord, that is to serve you. And I pray that you would help us in our service. We pray, Lord, for the many in our church this morning who have needs, who have prayer requests. We do want to make mention of the needs that people do have. We pray for your help in their life. We do, Lord, pray for those who have lost people in their life, that maybe it's a family member, it could be a relative, it could be a neighbor, maybe someone that someone works with. Lord, no doubt many in our church this morning have a burden for someone that is lost, that needs to be saved, and we pray that you would, Lord, use us to be a good witness and a testimony unto them. And Lord, I do pray for the salvation of those that need to be saved. We pray, Lord, that you would just use us, Lord, in that matter. We pray, Lord, for our country this morning. Once again, we make mention often of our nation and our need of revival. And Lord, we do pray for your help. We pray for your guiding, leading, and directing in our nation. And Lord, help our nation to realize that, Lord, you're the answer to all the problems that the world has. And Lord, I pray that our nation would turn back to you once again. Lord, we pray now for our lesson that we have as we look at something very important. I know that it was very important in the life of David. And Lord, I pray that we would learn from it. And that, Lord, not only do we learn, but Lord, I pray that you help us to practice what we learn. Lord, it's one thing to learn the Word of God, but Lord, if we never practice it, it really doesn't do a lot of good. And I pray that you'll help us to put it to practice even this very week. We love you, we thank you, we praise you for your goodness, we thank you for your mercy, and Lord, most of all, we want to thank you for our salvation this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen. All right, let's look here at another Psalms that David has written. It is a psalm that is a very simple chapter to read. It's a very simple chapter to understand. It is a chapter that I think sometimes we overlook a little bit in our life. And maybe as I read through the chapter, it kind of reveals unto me, at least in my life, some areas that I lack in I think is important, because we get so sidetracked in life. We're easily sidetracked with all the problems that we have. I've never met anyone that doesn't have problems. In fact, I promise you, even young people have problems. Now, we overlook them a lot and say, well, they don't know what real problems are, and that may be true to a point, but even young people have problems, and we as adults have problems. Everybody in life, no doubt, has some type of problem in life. We carry burdens this morning. You would probably be shocked at the amount of burdens that are present this morning. Sometimes we don't always reveal them in public, but rest assured, the Lord does know all of our problems and our difficulties and our burdens that we carry this morning, they are many. We live in a world that has a lot of burdens, a lot of problems, a lot of trouble. And we need to realize this morning that that can affect us in a bad way sometimes if we allow it to. We've got to be careful that we don't allow the problems and all the troubles to sidetrack us of all the good things that happen in life. We tend to get kind of sucked into the news cycles that go throughout a day and throughout a week. And I can go ahead and tell you right now, I don't know what all the news is going to be this next week, but it's all going to be bad. It's going to be negative, it's going to be depressing, it's going to be discouraging, and it's going to be very revealing, no doubt, of the condition that our world is in this morning. But we can't allow the condition of the world to dictate how we react and how we act in life. David was one that could very easily turn to depression. He was one that could very easily give in to the pressures of life and have a bad attitude and have a very negative outlook on life. And David did have that in his life. In fact, you'll find at points in his life, there were times where he did struggle. He was very human. You'll find that there were times when he had some doubts that maybe the Lord was going to come through at times. You see, even David struggled with that. You know, it is amazing in the Word of God how we struggle with a lot of the same things that people in God's Word struggled with. David was, and I'm not going to go back, and I made a lot of, I stressed a lot the other week. David was a man that knew what it was like to have people turn against him. He knew what it was like to be lied about. He was one that knew he could speak by experience of failure. He disappointed a lot of people in life. He disappointed not only himself, but his own family. He knew what it was like to have family members turn against him. He knew what it was like to have people hate him. He knew what it was like to have defeat in life and also victory. David had all of that in his life. And even last week, and if you look at chapter 32 real quick at the very beginning, you'll find that David in this Psalm chapter 32 that we were in last week, he starts off in verse number 1 talking about how blessed it is, how blessed it is to know that your sins have been forgiven and covered. We spent all of last Sunday in our lesson talking about chapter number 32 and how that David stresses how great it is that God is a forgiving God. And we talked about forgiveness, we talked about confession of sin and forgiveness and praying and asking God to forgive us of our wrong, our sin against him. We also stressed a little bit how important it was in the life of David that not only did he have a good prayer life and a walk with God where he would confess his sin unto God and get forgiveness, and he rejoiced over that, but he also always prayed that God would lead him down that right path from that day forward. We stressed that towards the end of our lesson. Well, this morning, he's going to switch gears here just a little bit, and you're going to find in this chapter, he's going to stress the importance of rejoicing in the Lord. Now, we say that, and it just kind of goes in one ear and right out the other, but I'm afraid sometimes that we kind of overlook the importance of rejoicing in God. And the reason I believe often that we kind of fail at this is because we get sucked into the world and all the depressing things that are happening in this world and all the bad things that are happening in this world. And sometimes that affects us and we come out depressed, we come out discouraged, we come out defeated, we come out with our head held down when our head ought to be held up high and realize that God is a wonderful God. And we ought to rejoice. And we find here that David thought it to be very important in his life that he would find time to just rejoice in God. That's what David's going to do here. The entire chapter is going to be focusing on rejoicing in the Lord. David was happy. David was overcoming the obstacles of life, all of his problems, all of his burdens, all of his worries, all the cares that he had in life. He was going to overcome them, and I believe that one of the ways that David overcame all that in his life is that he made himself look on the good things that were going on and the goodness of God and just spend some time rejoicing in God. You know, I think I've mentioned it many times. I'm afraid sometimes we spend maybe a little bit too much time in our prayer life. I'm not saying we spend too much time in our prayer life, but I'm thinking sometimes we spend too much of our prayer time asking God for things when we ought to spend some time just praising God for what He has given. I'm afraid too often we are always on the wanting end of our prayer life when there are a lot of times that we need to just back up and instead of going to God asking God for something, go to God just thanking Him for who He is, what He has done, and what He is in our life. And rejoice. That's all David's going to do here. He's going to give you some reasons why you ought to rejoice, and there's no way he's going to exhaust that. Just some of the insight into the life of David, you're going to find out that he's going to give you some reasons why you ought to rejoice. Or at least I could say this morning that you're going to look in the life of David and see some reasons why David felt like he could rejoice in God. I mean, David, let's not forget a little bit of all. I'm afraid that we look at our life and think that we have more problems than everybody else. And maybe, you know, no doubt there's somebody present this morning that maybe has a few more problems than everybody else in the room. I understand that. But you've got to realize the life of David here. I mean, when we look at David, we think of David as a great warrior. We think of David as a great man. He was the one that was used of God to slay Goliath, and he was very famous because of that. And that's, you know, understandably so. But David, you've got to realize here, David was a very sinful man. David made some very bad, bad, bad choices. And by the way, he made those choices. He chose to do wrong. You know, one thing about David, you'll never find in the Word of God where David says, well, you know, the devil made me do it. You know, the devil didn't make you do anything. Now, he can tempt you to do wrong, but when you do wrong, dear friend, it's because you choose to do wrong. We live in a society where everybody wants to blame everything else for their failures. You know, if somebody, some young boy just the other day walks into a high school and kills his classmates. He was a star football player. He was just crowned, what, king of some pageant. And I don't know, to me, the last thing in this world I'd want to be done in life as a boy is be king somewhere. But anyway, very popular in school, and something was bad wrong in that kid's life. And I can promise you right now that our government has about every psychologist on that case finding out why he did what he did. And when it all comes out, it's going to be because of some reason. It's going to be his daddy didn't buy him a puppy for Christmas or something one time, and because of that, it warped his mind. And, we have to realize we have to accept responsibility. David accepted responsibility in life, but David was actually able to overcome all the miserable failures in his life, the disappointments, the wrong choices, the sin, and then all the repercussions of all that he went through. And the reason David went through a lot of problems in life was of his own making. But yet we find in the life of David that David was at least smart enough when we get to chapter 33 just to realize the very first word is rejoice. The entire chapter is going to be following verse number 1 here. It's going to go back to that word rejoice. Let's look at our chapter here, chapter 33. Look at verse number 1. He kind of switches gears here a little bit, and he's going to focus now on an important part of his life. He's also going to encourage others to follow suit as well. But he says in verse number 1, rejoice in the Lord. And there's a comma. We could stop right there, and I think we could all take it to heart this morning. We don't do enough of that right there. We do a lot of complaining. Isn't it amazing? We as saved people probably complain more than anybody. Oh, not me. Oh, I'm afraid you too. We complain about everything. We're spoiled in many cases. And I'm afraid sometimes we kind of feel like we are entitled people. We're not entitled to anything this morning. And David was someone that just focused on taking time in his life in rejoicing in the Lord. Now, when you get into the mode of rejoicing in the Lord, it's going to be hard for you to always focus on all your problems. I'm not saying you don't have problems, and there's nothing wrong with going to God with your problems. In fact, the Lord wants you to take all your cares unto Him. But sometimes you can't get in such a rut in your walk with God that it's always about your problems, when sometimes we need to take our eyes off our problems and put them on God and just rejoice in the Lord. Amen. So he says in verse number 1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. That word comely there means fitting. It is a very fitting it ought to be a very fitting part of our life here to praise the Lord, rejoice in the Lord. So you find the word rejoice in verse number 1, the word praise also mentioned in verse number 1. And if you study the life of David, even with all of his shortcomings in life, one of the positives about his life, he was very active in rejoicing in God and praising God. He goes on in verse number 2, praise the Lord with harp. Right? Now, David was also one that played the harp. We mentioned back at the very beginning, before we ever started lesson number 1 in the book of Psalms, that you'll find that throughout the book of Psalms, and not only the book of Psalms, but the entire Bible, a lot of musical instruments mentioned in God's Word. David here, I believe, spent a lot of time playing the harp unto God. But he mentions in verse number 2, praise the Lord with harp, sing unto Him. All right, so you got him, not only is there an instrument being played here, but you've got singing, you've got the psaltery mentioned here in verse number 2, and instrument of 10 strings. All right, so he's talking about some different instruments here that David wanted them to play unto the Lord. He wanted them to play musical instruments. He wanted them actually to sing out praises unto God. And by the way, praising God is a good thing. We've got to be careful sometimes that we don't allow this New Age movements of so-called praise and worship to make us back off from actual praising and worshiping God. The word praise and the word worship are good words, not bad words. Now, we live in a day and age where it's been very much misused, no doubt. I think we could all agree that you take the new, quote, modern churches are a far cry from the old Bible preaching churches of the past. It's more towards entertainment instead of actual praise and worship unto God. It is more about the individual that's on the stage than it is God. All praise and worship directs everybody's attention and voice towards God. Praise and worship is lifting up God. And I hate to say that because I don't know that we can actually lift up God. God don't need anybody to help him be lifted up. But anyway, you understand what I'm saying, that all of our praise and worship, we'll get into a little bit more here. But he mentions in verse number 1 the word rejoice. He says, man, we need to be rejoicing. We need to be praising. It is right. It is fitting for us as upright, righteous, saved, born again believers, if you would. I'm adding a little bit there. But David says we need to be active in rejoicing. We need to be active in praising God. He tells them in verse number 2 to get the harps out, get the psalteries out, get the instruments of 10 strings out, get them all out, and we're going to sing, play, and we're going to praise the Lord. You know, praising God and rejoicing in God will do a lot for you. You'll find that it'll actually get you away from your problems mentally. It'll help you escape a little bit of your difficulties and your problems, your burdens, all that you struggle with in life. And it helps you because you get your eyes off that, and it makes you get your eyes on God. And that's what praise and worship ought to do. I think David was one that he needed some time to get his eyes and his mind off his problems, because if David were to focus all of his time and all of his thoughts and all of his energy on his problems, it'd drive him plumb crazy. And the only thing that kind of held David together was his time that he spent in praise and worship to God. Look at verse number 3. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. The word loud is used quite often by David. I mentioned it in our first lesson when we actually went to the very last book of the last chapter of the book of Psalms. But you'll find often it's interesting that David uses the word loud. David liked it loud. I mean, David liked it where, I mean, it wasn't some quiet, solemn kind of a service. I mean, it was pretty up-tempo. It was upbeat. There was musical instruments. There was singing. There was praising. There was worship unto God. And it was a very, very joyful time for them. And that's the way praise and worship ought to be to God. I mean, we ought to be happy to sing praises unto God. We ought to be happy to play unto God and sing unto God and rejoice unto God. And so he mentions here in verse number 3 that they are to play skillfully. And you take it for what it's worth, but I believe David wanted it to be done right. I believe there was organization to it. I believe there was structure to it. I believe that David wanted it to be perfect. He wanted it to be very professional. He wanted everybody involved. He wanted it loud. He wanted it exciting. He wanted people rejoicing. And you'll find here that David was one that enjoyed this type of a service unto God. Which David loved music. David loved playing the harp. David loved playing musical instruments. And David was very involved in it. It was very up-tempo, very upbeat. It was loud. It was exciting. It was joyful. And I believe that when it was all said and done, when you walked away, I believe you were pumped up pretty good. I believe you were pretty excited to be a child of God. I believe that you thought, you know, I walked in with all my problems, but I believe people walked out thinking, I can conquer all my problems with the Lord's help. And they focused their eyes and their attention, their emotions, their minds on God. You know, we've often said, and Brother Richardson has made many comments, if you sit at home watch the news all day, every day, you'll be a very depressed person. Only so much we can take. Now, I watch the news, and I want to know what's going on around the world, and I'm interested in news and what's going on around the world, but to be honest with you, you know, sometimes I think, you know, for instance, news agencies will take something and drive it in the ground. I mean, they take this Ebola situation, very serious situation, but, you know, I don't need to see the plane that somebody flew on that had Ebola. I mean, after a while, you're thinking, you know, if this is all you can come up with, it's time to move on to another story. Then you watch politics. Biggest bunch of liars I've ever seen in my life. You know they are. They know they're lying when they talk. And isn't it so frustrating that you got to be so politically correct or you can't get elected in our country? You can't really tell the truth. You tell the truth and you'll never make it in politics. Let me tell you why. People don't want to know the truth. We live in a society where people enjoy being lied to. Because you know as well as I do that any of us can go to Washington, just use some common sense and make some good changes for our nation, but you can't do that. America doesn't want that. You know, we get frustrated sometimes, and we'll even, and I'm not going to get into politics any further than this, but we'll all complain a little bit about those that get elected and how in the world can they get elected. Let me tell you how they get elected. That's what America wants. We don't want to accept the fact this morning that our country is really going down the tubes very, very fast, and they don't want somebody to tell them the truth, and they don't want somebody that's going to do the right thing for our nation. They just want somebody up there that's politically correct, that's going to give everybody something for free. That's what our nation wants. Now, I say our nation, I don't want it necessarily, but you know what? Majority rules, and I've got news for you. We're not in the majority. He goes on here, and he's even going to even talk a little bit about politics in a moment. David is here for just a moment, but let's go on to into it here. So he's got them, he says, man, let's rejoice. Let's praise. Let's worship God. Let's give honor, glory, and praise that is due unto Him. Let's get the harps out. Let's get the psalteries out. Let's get all the instruments out with 10 strings. Let's play. Let's sing. Let's rejoice in God. Verse number 4, for the word of the Lord is right and all His works are done in truth. So he's given some reasons here of why he's rejoicing in God. David rejoiced in the word of God because David felt like that about the only thing that had any truth to it in the world was the word of God. And that's very, very true this morning. About the only thing that you can bank on this morning that's going to be truthful is the Word of God. And David is revealing why he rejoices a little bit. He's given some definition or some terms or some words here to describe a little bit of why he was rejoicing and why he was praising unto God. And one of them was he talks about the Word of the Lord. He talks about it in verse number 4. It's the Word of the Lord that is right, and all His works are done in truth. Verse number 5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. It's interesting here that David mentions that the world was full of the goodness of God. And by the way, it's still true this morning. See, we're so sidetracked and all we see is all the problems of the world, where David looked at the world, yes, it had problems, but David looked beyond all the problems of the world and realized there's a lot of goodness. I mean, the goodness of God, the world is full of the goodness of God. And so often we miss it. Here we are in the fall time of the year. Trees are just, isn't it amazing how the color of the leaves will change on a tree? Let me tell you why that happens. God. There's goodness around us all throughout this world, and sometimes you've got to look past your problems and quit focusing on your trouble and on your worries and on your cares and concerns, and sometimes you've got to look beyond that and realize there is goodness all around you that God has granted in your life. David looked beyond his enemies. David looked beyond those that hated him. David looked beyond his failures in life and his sins in his life that was very evident, very open to the public. And David looked beyond that, as you find here in verse number 5. And even David says, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Verse number 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered, now you'll find here he's going to go back to creation, David is, talking about God as the one that created the earth. And, you know, we need to be reminded that God is the creator.
He goes on and he mentions here, verse number 6, talking about how that the Lord made the heavens and the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Verse number 7, he gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Verse number 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. And so he talks about the creation of God and how that God created the earth. And all that we have and all that we see came from God. All David is doing, he's just revealing some reasons why he was rejoicing. If anybody else were to write a psalm of why they're rejoicing in God, they may have some different take on life and maybe things that they see that are important in their life. And everybody would probably write a different psalm, but David is giving some insight of why he was rejoicing that day. You know, it's going to be okay if we would just live life one day and just, you know, just rejoice in all that God has created. He goes on here, he mentions in verse number 9 how he felt like the world ought to stand and look at and be in awe of God. Verse number 9, for he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Talking about God creating the world. Verse number 10, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. He's talking about God and how that God is the Creator, how that God has granted us all that we do have, that God is in control. Even David said, you know, man can't even come up with a device that destroys God. You know, I've always looked at it this way, that, you know, we live in a society today that's so worried that mankind's destroying the earth. And let me say this morning, mankind could not destroy the earth if he wanted to. Now, I know the news has been telling you about green energy and green this and green that and all that. And I'm not saying that there's not something called pollution, and I understand all that. But listen, mankind cannot destroy this earth. Well, how do you know that? Well, you read the Word of God, you'll find out that God's the one that destroys it, not man. I believe this. I believe that however many nuclear warheads there are in this world and nuclear bombs and atomic bombs or whatever mankind can come up with, I feel this way. If everybody got together in this world and set them off all at one time to try to destroy the earth, you still wouldn't accomplish it. Why? Because there is a God in heaven, and He's in control. He goes on here and says in verse number 12, blessed is the nation. So he's going to talk also a little bit about a nation. You'll find he is basically talking about the Jewish people, but it also is going to apply more than just to them as God's chosen people. But look at verse number 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You hear a lot of people use that. You hear preachers talk about that when we talk about a nation, when we talk about America, and that principle does apply to any nation. Right? Blessed is the nations whose God is the Lord. Now, my problem this morning is, I don't know if that's true about our country this morning. I don't know how much we really rely on God as a nation. Now, a lot of times we point a finger to Washington, but it's not Washington that's the problem. I'm afraid that often it's not the White House that's the problem, it's the church house that's the problem. I'm afraid sometimes that we as God's people, we don't rejoice in God enough, we don't praise God enough, we do not bless God, if you would, enough this morning, If God's people don't do that, then it's going to deteriorate society. And when a society crumbles, families crumble, and then a nation crumbles. But I believe it all goes back to the church house. It goes back to God's people. You know, God is
God's not worried this morning about the world and the condition of the world. I think God's concerned about His people and how we act and how we live and how we react in life and how we don't act maybe in life. And we've got to realize how important that David is focusing here, how important it was in his life to spend time blessing God and rejoicing in God and praising God. But this verse 12 is a famous verse, and we'll read it here. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. And so we know here that we're talking about the God's chosen people. Very obvious the verse is talking about it here, but the principle applies to everyone, any nation. Verse number 13, for the Lord looketh from heaven, He beholdeth all the sons of men. So you'll find here it's going to include everybody, and we need to realize this morning that God is in heaven and God looks down and God sees all. He sees us. God knows who's here this morning. God knows who is not here this morning. God knows every burden that you have. God knows every problem that you have. God even knows about the problem that you have that you don't even realize yet that you do have. God sees all. He goes on here in verse number 14, from the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. David acknowledged and realized here, and he had an understanding that God saw or would see everything that David did in his life. You're not going to hide from God. There's not some dark secret place that you can run to and hide from everything in this world, because God sees that as well. And you can try to run from God, but I promise you this morning, when you run from God, you'll find out He's always going to beat you wherever you're going. You can't get away from God. I don't know, maybe David looked at Elijah and said, you know, one of the reasons we'll be praising and worshiping and rejoicing in God is because God sees us. God sees you this morning. God knows where you're at this morning. God knows everything about you. He knows your condition this morning. He knows everything about you. He knows you better than you know yourself. Verse number 15. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. You'll find in verse number 16 that He's going to use the word king. He's talking about a ruler, those that are in control, those that are over a nation. And look at verse number 16, for it says, there is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. David is basically saying that there is not a king alive, even though he may have a mighty army, that is protected from God. In fact, if you study a little bit here, you'll find out that David, when he looked at a nation and their army, or those that are serving in a nation, maybe to protect them, you'll find here that David says that it doesn't matter how strong your army may be, it does not excuse you from the hand of God. We often brag and we often we'll refer to our nation as the strongest military on planet Earth, and that's probably true to a large, pretty much so, even though I don't know that we're as strong as maybe what we think we are sometimes militarily. But listen, if you put all your faith and trust that your military is going to save you, David is saying here, you need to get your head out of the sand, because nothing's going to stop the hand of God. So he basically talks here in verse number 16. He says there is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Verse number 17. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. You see, this morning our protection, and don't get me wrong, I'm thankful for our military.
I think we'll be grateful for those that serve in our military. I think we need a strong military. I'm all for our military. In fact, I'd like to give them bigger guns and bigger bullets and stronger tanks this morning. I'm all for that. But I'm also understanding this morning that if I put all my faith and trust in military, you're going to find out you're going to come up on the short end of the stick. Our faith and trust must be in God. He's the answer, not the military. And David says that if you're a king that puts all your faith and trust in those mighty men that are around you and you feel like you're untouchable, David said you're a foolish man. I mean, God rises up and takes down kings as he wills. Our military is no match for God. What are we going to do? Take our Air Force and shoot God down? That's not going to happen. Your faith and trust and your peace of mind must rest in God. David speaks about that this morning. Let me move on here. Verse number 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Always remember, the eye of God is on you at all times. You cannot escape the eye of God. David was one that at a point in his life thought he committed some very bad sins, if you would, in his life. He thought he had it all under wraps. He thought he had it all swept under the rug. He didn't think anybody knew about it. David is speaking by experience here when he says the eye of God is upon you no matter what you do. He spoke by experience in life. He was one that knew, he thought he had everybody fooled, and David had to realize, I may have had mankind fooled, but I never had God fooled. The eye of God is upon you at all times, David mentions here. Verse number 19, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. And by the way, the eye of God on you is not a bad thing, it is a good thing. See, we look at the eye of God upon us and how that God sees us and knows everything we do. We always look at it about how that He knows about all of our sins. But guess what? God also knows about all the good we do. God's eye upon us is good because there are times when we need God to come through. And it's good to know this morning God knows what we're going through. So when we focus and we think about how that God sees all that we do, our mind always rushes, well, He sees all the bad things we do. You know, that's true, but He sees you going to church this morning. I'm glad God sees us going to church this morning. That's a good thing. So don't always have this attitude that God sees all the bad that we do. He does, but He also sees all the good things that we do. Verse number 19, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waited for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. All right? Now, David is just revealing his heart. He's all this he's discussing as he rejoices in God and praises God. Verse number 21, for our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. So the entire chapter you'll find here, chapter 33, is an entire chapter that David is discussing the importance of rejoicing in God and praising God. In your difficulties, in your trials, in your difficult days, find time to rejoice in God and to praise God. Don't spend all your time just needing God to bail you out and to give you and to help you. There ought to be some times we just praise God for what He has done and what He is doing. And David felt like it was important enough in his life that he penned a psalm unto God, just rejoicing and praising God for who He was in his life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for Your blessings in life. And God, we are a very blessed people. Lord, forgive us for not praising You enough. And Lord, forgive us for not rejoicing in You enough.
And Lord, we're all guilty this morning of maybe tending to always lean towards the negative and all the problems and all the difficulties that we encounter in life. But God, help us to rise up and live above that and realize there's a lot of goodness of the Lord all around us in this world. Help us to focus on that. Lord, help us to live life in a positive light, in an upbeat. And Lord, help us to live above the clouds. And Lord, we have much to rejoice about, much to praise You for this morning. And we thank You for all that You have done and all that You're going to do, even in this new week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.